here at the Warren, and the Fringe is still barely a week old, and I keep finding even more interesting shows to find out about. It does look like it might rain here, Sarah Said, who's part of Stealth Aspies. That's Sarah, Paul, Alain, French spelling there, and Janine. The subheading of this show is the second year of our 100% autistic theatre company. Unique, history-making, moving, funny and intimate. A good set of promises there for a show that is called...
Autistic People Speak Out.
Now, that really does sound like a direct title for a show that describes what it is. But what is it?
Well, it is that. basically, we're all on the spectrum, all four of us, as performers and poets. And the actual content of the show is it's kind of in a monologue form. And it's spoken word, of course, as in it's not that visual. It's very much about poetry and the real life experiences of people that are on the spectrum, particularly people that are late diagnosis, which we all are at different ages. So we're a pretty broad variety of ages within the company, I'd say.
And for people that think they know but probably don't, what does on the spectrum mean?
Yeah, of course. Okay, that means having a diagnosis of autism or Asperger's. In my case, it's Asperger's. There's a lot of conversations about which is which and things like that. But basically, on the spectrum covers that overall, I would say. And it's about, living your life as an autistic person.
And so, for you as a performer, what does that mean?
That means, in this show, what that means is being able to be really honest about things that we would hide about ourselves in everyday life on stage. So, how to best describe this? Let's say in a room where we're doing a performance, there might be a million things that are a difficult thing to handle in a sensory way. So, for example, I have very, very sensitive hearing to certain frequencies to the point where they'll actually derail my thought processes and me being able to do certain tasks. And basically, if that happens during a show, we'll be transparent about that. Because the whole point, that's just one example, it's a small example. Our environment is really important to us. So things like the lighting, the noises that people make in the environment around us, all sorts of things.
Great place to interview you, isn't it?
Yeah, because actually I can kind of tune into a few different sounds that are derailing me, but I'm aware of it. It's cool. As you get older, I think you get better at training your brain to stay on track, in theory.
So how did you all meet?
We actually met Paul and Alan, Paul Wadey and Alan English, knew each other previously, and they'd come up with the idea for this show. Paul has his own show called Gorilla Aspies, and he'd been doing that for a while, and he's also written a book about called Gorilla Aspies. So those guys, I met them at Autism Arts Festival, the first one in the UK that was in 2016. We got chatting. They knew that I was a performer and with a devising background and things like that, and also Janine Booth, who is a pretty established poet, as well as a whole load of other things. She's a really amazing lady. And she kind of trains people in how to work with autistic people in workplaces and all sorts of things. Basically, we all hit it off. And they said, do you want to come on board and do the show with us in Edinburgh? And that was in the April. And I'd only been newly diagnosed the year before. And I was in a better headspace to take up an opportunity like that last year. And so I did.
And from my own experience of having met people on the spectrum, and seen shows at Edinburgh and also in other careers, they would tend to do solo work. And so I'm just interested in how that has affected you and that decision to do this so socially.
It's a pretty interesting one, actually. It's a funny one for me, because actually I think I might be a little bit of an anomaly in that I work better with people collaboratively. I find it quite hard to work in a solitary context. So, you know, I've got a background in devising, which is working with a group of performers to make work together. So for me, that wasn't a difficult thing, particularly. Paul Wadey has said that that's been a learning curve for him, because he's used to doing one-man shows, and he's quite fiercely a one-man performer. But having said that, I think because we like each other's brains and we like what each other do, we have a good mutual respect for each other's work, and we really want to share that. And we're also really open about the things that we struggle with and that we don't, if that makes sense. So our preferred way of working, for example, or something that's a problem for us in a certain process when we're trying to put together some material, or I think we're just really transparent with each other as well. And we find that because we like each other's brains, it's kind of working, but it can be hard.
And you've used the expression, we like each other's brains, but, you know, has this disrupted you where you can like each other's hearts? You know, have you changed as a result of a group process? Not just you personally, but have you noticed the development?
I think that's a really difficult question.
Yay!
that is a really difficult question. In what sense?
Well, you know, I've asked solo performers, you know, how have you changed over the years? And some have said, you know, actually, I've got to know myself better. That would be an obvious one. And then one or two have gone in deliberately to make themselves uncomfortable into an ensemble group and said, yeah, now I'm having to confront things that I didn't have to when I was on my own. And that's been good, because I've improved my... or some have actually said I've confronted my own irritations with other people. And so I'm just interested that if at least three of you were more into solo, isolated type work, you've now thrown yourselves together, and I guess that can be good and bad. But is it changing you?
There is, in a way, because it's a monologue show, I would say there is an element of us still being kind of standalone.
Your turn, my turn.
Yeah, kind of. But at the same time, I would say that, I mean, it's hard to speak for the others, but I would think that I get the feeling that Paul and Alan have, you know, the challenges... good for them, and they're getting something from it, and we're definitely changing and creating more of a rapport towards each other in terms of a dynamic as we're getting to know each other. So I would say that it's been a really positive shift for us all. With Janine, it's different, because Janine's a very, very busy gigging performer, very busy, pretty constant, and she gigs all over the place. And I would say that also because she's the only one in the company that's a mum, she has her own, you know, she works it to her own dynamic to some extent.
I suppose also just that, you know, we create flyers for different reasons, and in this one you've got Janine with her microphone, but the other three of you are in the photo together. And when I look at this, I see the word togetherness, just the way you're all looking at each other. And it just sort of, I find that interesting to see, given the context of this, that, you know, are you growing into something here?
We do have a lot of mutual trust, definitely, because, you know, for example, Edinburgh last year was a bonding experience. We learn, you learn about, you know, how much you struggle with certain things. So I think we see those things in each other, and we want to make sure that we feel okay to perform together, to just get through our days when we're around each other. You know, you notice, and I would say that there is a real camaraderie because we're all being so openly honest about the things that are difficult for us, which means that... I know that the buzzword is empathy. the fact is that actually, as Paul puts it in the show, you know, people that are on the spectrum, quite often we have a lot of empathy for our own kind, as well as empathy that's expressed in a different way that's just different to neurotypical empathy, I guess.
Well, you've created a tribe called the Aspies.
Yeah, we have. We are a tribe. It's true. And I think that the more we get to gig with each other as well, you know, the more we're going to learn about each other, and we feel like we've got each other's backs on stage and off. Definitely, it feels like that.
Different monologues. How did you decide the order of them? Because I guess the audience are going to experience an evening, and I guess you've made some decisions here. And I'm quite, as a theatre maker, I'm quite interested in how this show then finally comes together. In this case, as an order of, you know, pieces.
I would say that rather than deciding the order of revealing certain information about, you know, life on, like, everyday life on the spectrum, because obviously each monologue throws up different factors. Some talk about the sensory side of things. Some talk about the social. Some people would say dysfunction, difficulty, the social difficulty. I don't think that there is an element throughout all of these monologues that we received that we had to kind of reveal the information in a certain way. I think it's just all sharing experience. So by that token, we just kind of, really more than anything, we kind of curate it like you would a running order, a spoken word night or something like that. I think of it as curating. I mean, I've run my own nights for years as well, where it's a case of putting acts on a running order, and I would say that we've approached it in that way, really, if that makes any sense.
Now, I might be revealing my own naivety here, but I think I'm going to give myself permission, and, you know, everyone forgive me, but when you said on the spectrum, and you also used the word diagnosis, and I guess sometimes, you know, the professional services will go, well, you're here on the spectrum, does the arts, particularly working in this way, do you move along the spectrum in your life, and does art have a particular role to play, or are you always in the same place? My assumption would be, in all cases, this could be unmaking you a bit. Doing work like this, putting yourself in front of audiences, working socially, taking risk. I don't know, if a year from now you were diagnosed again, would they say you're on the spectrum but you're now here?
Okay, that is a really interesting question. And the reason why that's an interesting question is that I know for a fact that I already displayed like someone that wasn't on the spectrum, because I've been acting since I was a very small child, right. And I've been doing shows since I was little. So for me, I've always been thrown in those environments anyway. I did my first Fringe when I was a little kid, so I was around older kids performing and just cracking on with it. The thing for me was I loved being on stage, the discipline of learning lines and stuff like that. Life was easier for me with a script, basically. It was all the in-between stuff that was hard. So in a strange way, I mean, post-diagnosis, I know that I've been unmaking that masked version of myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So on stage, we just get to share that. I would say it's similar in a way for the others as well, because we've all been performing for a long time. And what it means is, luckily, it's given us some of the skills maybe to be able to analyse some of that stuff in order to be able to share it. But I would say that I wouldn't say it's unmaking us as people that are on the spectrum.
Yeah.
I would say that what it's proving is that people on the spectrum are not what people think we are.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we're basically broadening the parameters, because actually, I mean, all of us are pretty passionate autism advocates as well.
Yeah.
And all of us stand by the fact that, you know, the field of medicine is catching up to what the spectrum actually looks like and feels like.
Yeah, and you've hinted there that it's also many layered.
Oh, it's really, really multi-layered. It's so, one of the reasons why it's one of the why autism is one of the most complex conditions on the planet is because it can't be pinned down, because actually people on the spectrum are as broad as people who are neurotypical, which is the term for people that have supposedly, let's say in speech marks, the normal brain, versus those of us that have other things, other kinds of brains. But yeah, I would say the whole point of what we're doing is to be able to also have autistic audiences go, well, you know, these guys can be open about this, and they're finding it hard because they're being honest about it, but we know that what we've been told about autism isn't true. We know some of the things that we feel about it are true as well.
And finally then, coming back to your promises on your flyer. Okay, so unique. Well, I can buy that. I promised unique, and then I go, well, actually, you know, there's 60 other shows like this, but let's go with that. Certainly history making, yeah, no one's done it quite like this before. But now I've got some theatre stuff, some performance stuff, moving, funny and intimate. So just for those people listening to this thinking, well, we've got a slot in our diary on Thursday, should we go and see this? And you want them to go and see it as an audience that want to go and see it for no other reason than they're going to see something that's moving, funny and intimate. Give me a little bit of you as the showmaker. Why is it those things? What do you do to make it those things?
Okay. Well, the reason why it is... the reason why it's moving, let's take that first. People have come up to us, both people that are on the spectrum and people that are neurotypical. And, you know, people cry during our shows quite a lot because they hear things that they can relate to. They hear things that they are hearing for the first time on a stage, and it makes them understand something about other people's everyday experiences. It's not a sad show. It's deliberately not a sad show. You know, we want to negate a lot of the negative only perceptions of people being on the spectrum. So, you know, it's moving in places. It's really funny because, quite honestly, you know, Janine is a hilarious performer and a hilarious doesn't pull her punches poet. She's brilliant. The other guys are funny naturally. I'd like to think I'm funny occasionally. It's just worth checking out because, to be honest, there aren't really other shows like it. It genuinely does do what it says on the tin. Yeah.
And it says a lot on the tin, so that sounds like a show to see.
Well, yeah, we're all quite wordy people.
Sarah Saeed, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thanks, Paul.